to the skies very high.
Hello and welcome to Talking PPG Radio. My name is Will Jones. The following information is not for training, but personal experiences and reflections on the world of power paragliding as I know. All guests of Talking PPG Radio have formed their own ideas, thoughts, and opinions on the world of power paragliding. They are not necessarily the thoughts or opinions of Talking PPG Radio. You may agree or disagree to what you hear. Talking PPG Radio is here to get conversations, thoughts, ideas about the world of power paragliding. Safety first. I highly recommend a qualified instructor. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoy.
Welcome back. Will Jones here, Talking PPG Radio. I have two things for you today. I have a little short little segment with Lance Marzak. I talked to Lance a couple of shows ago about the 4th annual Pig Roast and Fly-In that's being held in Kankakee, Illinois, July 10th through the 12th. And I wanted to call him back and see if anything has changed. We chat a little bit about the weather and guys that are actually thinking about coming. You're not sure if you're going to stay at the place. We talked about that. We talked about hotels. He gives great information, numbers and stuff about the hotels that you actually can stay at if you're not going to stay at the field. So, and then what I have for you next is David Schultz. You guys may have heard me say that name before about the $20 and the Beach Blast. Well, one of the things also I like doing or plan to do even more is just maybe calling some guys and just talking to them about PPG. Just two guys getting on the phone and talking about PPG. We talk about motors, training, wings, Beach Blast, trikes. We talk about a little bit of everything. So, especially you new guys, just kind of, all of the guys that have been PPG in for a while have really great ideas as far as getting into the sport and things that you should look out for or not, stuff like that. So, I have my ideas and thoughts, but there are many other guys out there that have ideas and thoughts. And it's nice to know that they're, what other people are thinking about, like I said, motors, trikes, wings, things like that. So I called Dave, met him, like I said, you'll hear I met him at the Flight Junkies reunion last year. And he is one of the guys that he goes to a lot of fly-ins. He went to several fly-ins last year. So really good insight about fly-ins and just a really cool conversation. So just sit back and relax, and we'll get this thing going. Will Jones, Talking PPG Radio. The other thing is, I know what else I want to tell you, is the live call-in show. Not really getting any responses on it, so I guess I'll just call Alex and see if, I'll just sit down and talk to him. But like I said, if you're interested in coming on and you have some questions to ask that you would like to ask Alex Favre about the Black Devil motor, wings, whatever, I'm sure he'd be willing to answer any of your questions. So just get in touch with me. Go to talkingppgradio.com. My contact information is on there. I'm on the big list. So anyway, we'll stop there. Will Jones, Talking PPG Radio. Thank you for listening.
Hey guys, Will Jones. Thought I'd give Lance Marzak a call back. His fly-in's coming up pretty soon in Kankakee. It'll be July 10th through the 12th, 4th Annual Pig Roast and Fly-In. And I just wanted to give him a call, and we talked to him earlier about the fly-in, but I wanted to see if there are any changes, anything that you guys need to know. So, hey Lance, how you doing, man?
Doing great.
Good.
Yourself?
Oh man, weather's been good, so I'm not going to complain. At least good mornings, anyway. When I get off work, of course, the wind picks up. So, but other than that, all good. So,
it's been doing that lately. Let's just hope it's not doing that during flying. Let's just pray for 3 good days.
That would be good. Yes, absolutely, man. So, like I said, I would call him back to see if any changes, anything the guys need to know that may have changed since the last time that we talked, man.
No changes. The only, it looks like, if the weather's good, we're going to have a pretty good turnout. And it's all weather dependent, of course, but, know, regardless, you know, people like last year, you know, they still came regardless of the weather, but, you know, it's still a go, you know, it's rain or shine, no matter what, but I had a couple calls in regard to hotels.
Okay.
My suggestion would be, you know, stay right on site at the field. There's a shower, there's a bathroom available, you know, but people that are interested in staying, you know, in a hotel, there's the Hilton, which is right north of the airport. You can actually see the airport from there.
Mm-hmm.
If you tell them, if you mention that you're attending an event at the airport, they'll knock off some money. And actually, it's I believe it's under $100. You know, but don't quote me on that.
No, too late. We got you now.
And then there's a I think it's called the Economy Inn, and that is probably 2 miles north of the airport. There's not the Hilton, but you know, it's just a room, and I think their rooms are like right around $50. And then there's the Riverview Guest House, which is in Kankakee. I'm probably going to put a link or a post up on either the Big List in regard to this because, you know, like any city, there's good, bad, and ugly areas. And those would be my recommendations. Other than that, you got to go to Bradley, which is about 7 miles north of the airport.
Wow.
And they have many, many, many places, you know, to stay. But my suggestion, once again, would be stay on site, enjoy, you know, the people, and, you know, camp out, you know.
Yeah, that's what I plan to do myself, so, yeah. The other question is, would there be happen to be a Wi-Fi access point there, you know, if they have one there at the airport? Or
we'll get you online.
Okay, all right.
Somehow.
Yeah, I've seen some other people that are staying there, and they probably want to, you know, be hooked. I don't want to be too far away from the internet, I guess.
Okay.
So.
Well, I know there's one at the main terminal.
Yes.
You know, you'd have to go over there obviously to use it.
Okay.
Which, you know, it's like crossing the runway, you know, but
yeah.
It's still, you know, at the airport. Jim's got a wireless hookup, but I'm not sure how his signal works
everything
or whatever.
Is, yeah.
You know.
Okay.
But you know, somewhere along the line, you know, I know the main terminal has,
okay,
you know.
Well, cool, man. Yeah, great. All right. Well, that was the main reason I wanted to call, just see if there was any other things and great information on the hotels there, guys. And, well, Lance, I would probably see you in a couple of weeks, man. Hopefully the weather's good. Yes.
Oh, God, we got to have good weather, you know.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. I was supposed to go to the foot drag and play the weather card. It was just too far to go because of the weather, so hopefully get a chance.
You know what? That's just it. I mean, you know, it. If it looks like it's going to rain out, you know, then you kind of go, do I really want to go that far?
Yeah.
But Phil Atkinson from Michigan, you know, he told me once, he said, Lance, he says, if you judge going to a fly-in by the weather report, you're going to miss a lot of flying.
No, you're exactly right.
It's true.
Yes,
you know?
Exactly right. Well, I spent that whole time, that whole weekend going, okay, oh man, I should have gone. No, look, then I could look at the weather. They did get some flying in, but, you know, 500 something miles, it's like, I want to fly as much as possible, you know, so. But, cool.
Did they get rained out?
I tell you, just listening to what I talked to John and also Barry, they did get to fly a couple times, I think about 3 or 4 times, so not completely rain out, but they did get to fly some, so, yeah, but.
Good, good. Well,
yeah.
Our weather up here just hasn't been the greatest, you know, it, at night, usually when it's you know, in the past years,
yeah.
You know, the wind's blowing like a banshee at 4 o'clock, and
yeah.
Then you know it would die down. Now it's dying down and picking back up.
Yeah.
With this heat, you know, it's finally kind of starting to stabilize. You know,
yeah.
And so hopefully, you know, it's late in the season, but let's say we kick off the season with the flying. You know,
yeah, exactly, yeah, man.
Looking forward to it, man. Looking forward to it. So.
Yeah, yeah. Can't wait to meet you. And, you know, hopefully, you know, this will be the pinnacle year, you know, for attendance, you know.
So. Well, hopefully a lot of people have listened to, got a chance to listen to the last podcast with you on, and it striked up their interest a little bit. So, but like I said, I wanted to keep it short.
Yeah, we got a little off track on that one.
Well, that's okay, though. See, everybody's still like, oh, man, you know, sit back, listen. Hey, chit-chat, it's all good. So.
Okay, well, hey, there's a few hotels that I mentioned.
Yeah.
The phone numbers and contact information. The Hilton Garden Inn is area code 815-932-4444.
Okay.
Like I say, that's you know, that's right by the airport. Then you have the bed and breakfast. Contact information is Nita, and that's area code 708-372-4978.
Okay.
Once again, that's 708-372-4978. And continue on down the line, you have the Economy Inn, which is close to the airport. Like I say, it's nothing fancy, but you know, it's a place to stay. Area code 815-939-4551. That's about 2 miles away from the airport. And the restaurant Bradley, you have the Quality Inn and Suites. Area code 815-939-3501. Holiday Inn Express, 815-932-4411. Fairfield Inn, 815-935-1334. And the final one is the Hampton Inn, 815-932-8369. Like I say, once again, my suggestion is stay right on the field. There's a shower, there's a bathroom. The Ultralight Place, Jim Leon that owns the Ultralight Place, moved to a bigger facility.
Oh, okay.
So we have access to the building that he used to be in. So, you know, if somebody's, you know, interested in just camping out, you know, bringing their sleeping bag and sleeping inside the building.
Oh, wow.
You know, that would be probably what I might even do this year. So,
cool.
Versus bring the old musty pop-up camper out, you know.
Or tent.
So,
there you go. Yeah.
But, you know, I'm gonna run that one by Jim. You know, maybe, I know Jeff Going, I know he's coming down. And
oh, okay.
He mentioned
well, cool.
That, you know, a couple, I don't know, it was a month ago, that his RV is somewhere in the country. So he's not gonna have the RV, so. You know, if there's several people that are going to be, you know, needing accommodations, maybe I'll have to go look for some bunk beds or something. You know,
yeah. There you go. That's cool.
We'll make an airport hotel real quick.
There it is. But, I have reservations. Yes, there you go. That's too cool, man. Well, I'll tell you, hopefully I can get some guys together like we did down at the Beach Blast, at a kind of a round table thing and chit chat, and so everybody can listen to, more ideas about our sport. So that's one of the things I'm going to try to do like we did down there. So,
I think what you're doing is, it's a good service, you know, and, you know, maybe it's having an effect.
I haven't
seen anybody on the big list, you know, kind of. You know, attacking anybody or
yeah, lately? Give it time, you know.
Yeah, they didn't even mention. There was only a couple replies to Brandon's video there. I thought for sure there'd be a
yeah.
bunch of, you know.
I tell you what, it was. I looked it over and it was like, man, wow. Wow. I'm glad he actually let let it out, and you know, so you can, you know, could see. What happened, and maybe, like I said, maybe we learned from that, guys, you know, so it was,
yeah, he's a good, you know, good guy, you
yeah.
know, and, yeah. you know, that's why it was originally private, you know, and,
yeah,
you know, it's cool that he, you know, wanted to get the information out there, yeah. and, you know, it went from, man, this is, you know, a cool flight to a disaster real quick,
yeah.
you know,
right.
and, you know, touching on that, you know, we, you know, things can change real quick. We had an airplane decide to come and visit three of us. We were flying along, and you know, this airplane started circling us.
Oh,
and the wind
gosh.
Was the wind was pretty pretty strong that day. And when he, you know, one thing when he was south of us and downwind, but when he started going around us and upwind and climbing, it was an interesting situation to say the least. But you know, things can change pretty quick.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, man. All right, time to land. Oh my gosh.
You know what? It's what do you do?
And
I cranked it around and I hit the throttle and, you know, went downwind, and we were scattering like little cockroaches.
Oh yeah, you know, exactly right. You know, run.
But we had a discussion with the individual that was flying because he wasn't aware of you know, the dangers that he was creating.
Yeah.
And yeah, so even stuff that's outside of your control, you know, you can learn from. But
yeah. Well, cool, man.
Well, I appreciate the call.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. But yeah, I try to get in touch with guys right before, you know, a week or two before, and I know I was going to post something here in the next day or two, and it was a good time to call you, and thank you for your time, and we will see you in a couple. What is it? A week?
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Yeah. It's not this weekend, but the following weekend, and we're here.
Cool. I can't wait.
I can't either. Right. I can't wait to meet you, bud.
Thanks, Lance. We appreciate it.
All right, buddy. Thanks. Take care.
Well, thank you there, Lance, for coming on and giving us some more information about hotels. And looks like it's on, guys. Everything's ready to roll. And I will hopefully see him here in the next several days. And can't wait. So, anyway, we're going to get right into it. What I have coming up for you next is Dave Schultz. Just call to chit-chat, just to talk. Fellow PPG-er. We talk a little bit about everything. Wings, beach blast, trikes, motors, and training. So, especially you new guys. This is really directed more to you new guys, like the last one was. Just give you ideas and thoughts on somebody else's actually ideas and thoughts about power paragliding. So, sit back, relax. Will Jones, talking PPG Radio.
Well, guys, welcome back. Talking PPG Radio, Will Jones here. Today, I just thought I'd call up a friend that I kind of met at one of the fly-ins I went to last year, to the Flight Junkies fly-in, Dave Schultz. You guys may remember me talking about he was the one that brought the $20 to me down at the Beach Blast, which is a funny thing. But anyway, I thought I'd give him a call. I wanted to talk to him about, you know, a few things about the Beach Blast, training ratings. We're just going to chit-chat, sit back, and just relax, and that's what we're about today. So, Dave, welcome. How you doing, man?
Pretty good, Will. How you doing?
Oh, man. I was just chit-chatting you a little bit before we got started, guys, about allergies. But other than that, man, all good. All good. Thank you for coming on today, man.
Well, thank you for having me.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I tell you what, we always start off, try to get a little information about you, man. How long you been flying, where you at, tell the people where you're flying at, and just sit back and relax here for a second and listen to you. Go ahead. Yeah.
I've been flying, I guess, about a little over 2 years.
2 years.
Well, I fly in Middle Tennessee,
yeah.
Just south of Nashville, in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. So,
Murfreesboro, yeah.
Murfreesboro, not too far from Louisville.
Yeah.
I guess I started out, you know, like a lot of people, just looked at the sport for probably 2 or 3 years before, you know, actually making a decision
mm-hmm.
about equipment and instructor and all that. You know, just fell in love with the sport. I was actually looking at buying an ultralight airplane,
yes. uh-huh.
and power paraglider just really intrigued me, you know, as far as, you know, the setup time and, you know, being able to carry it in a trailer or the back of your car.
Yeah.
So that, you know, that interested me and started looking at it, I guess, maybe, you know, 2 years, just decided that I was going to do it. And, you know, once you make the decision,
yeah.
You kind of jump into it, you know, head first.
Yeah, that is cool, man.
So I had a motorcycle. I've had motorcycles just about all my life, and I got tired of, you know, riding by myself and trying to hook up with other folks to ride. And came home one Saturday, and after riding alone, and told my wife, I said, you know, if I'm going to do something by myself, I'd rather be I'd rather be flying.
Yeah.
So actually sold my motorcycle, put it up for sale, and the following week sold it. And I've been looking at a number of different schools and instructors, and came across the Flight Junkies.
Oh, okay.
And I know you're a Flight Junkie as well.
Yes, uh-huh.
So I called Kurt on, I think I sold my motorcycle on a Saturday, called Kurt on a Monday, started chit-chatting with him, talking about equipment, told him that I wanted to come to the Flight Junkies reunion that was in July, and I guess May,
May?
I guess.
May, okay.
When I first called him. So I called him on a Monday, we started talking, I said, well, I'd like to come to the Flight Junkies reunion, but I want to come as a participant, I don't want to come as a observer.
Right.
And he said, well, I've got a class coming up this weekend. He said, you know, I can order your equipment and have it here shipped directly to me, and you can come up Thursday. He was in Ohio at the time.
Right, yeah.
And so he drop-shipped all my equipment, told me exactly, you know, what I needed, got all my equipment sent there. I flew up there on a Thursday and came back on a Tuesday and trained with him on the weekend. And
wow.
Had my after I finished, came back on Tuesday, had my equipment all, you know, shipped back UPS, and
yeah.
I was pretty much on my own.
Yeah. Well, cool, man. So you actually started off with a Fresh Breeze unit. You're flying, what are you flying right now?
I've got a Black Devil 172 on an Aerothrust.
Aerothrust, yeah.
So.
Okay.
Because
yeah.
When I started out on the what's that?
I was going to say, go ahead. No, go ahead. You started out on?
Yeah, started out on Fresh Breeze because, you know, that's what
Kurt
sells.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you first get in the sport, you don't know, you know, what equipment's the right size for you. You don't
right.
know what wing it is. You don't know, you know, you don't even know what, you know, questions to ask. But, you know, Kurt, you know, sized me up based on my height and my weight and,
yeah.
and all that. And, you know, put a nice package together. And I wanted to buy something new because, you know, when you get into the sport, it's hard enough learning how to fly,
right?
And then you got to worry about you know, equipment issues as well. So I was fortunate, you know, I sold my motorcycle and took that money and invested it right back into, you know, new equipment. And
yeah.
of course, the instructor, you know, they're familiar with that type of equipment, so any problems or, you know,
yeah.
setup issues or whatever, they're real comfortable. So it worked out well, and
that's
I flew
cool.
that for I guess about 130 hours maybe,
yeah.
and then sold it and bought some new stuff.
Yeah. Because it's funny, because I remember when I was looking, I think, I remember seeing you. Did you have a skip trike or skip jet?
Yeah.
I remember seeing that on YouTube. I didn't know it was you. It's funny because it was one of those deals where, you know, looking for information, which is what you do when you first get started. And of course, YouTube's a great source of, you know, of information. And I remember seeing one of your videos where you had that, was it Skip One? Skip, I think it is, the Fresh Breeze.
I think it's the Skip One, yeah. Fresh Breeze.
Yeah.
There is. I went to a fly-in, the Dave Purden fly-in, which was after the Flight Junkie,
yeah.
and met Don Jordan there. And, you know, I was still fairly new to the sport, had maybe 30 or 40 hours of flying, and,
yeah.
and you know, kind of struggled with my forwards in the beginning, like, you know, a lot of folks do, and
yeah.
there was
right.
very low wind, and Don came over and said, hey, you need to try my trike out. So he was fortunate enough to you know, be there with a trike, and he said, "Listen, you know, just I was actually surprised, you know, because it's rare that, you know, people
right.
let you use their equipment to begin with." But
right.
He saw I was flying the day and the couple of days before, so he said, "You know, basically, you know, just two things. One is if you wreck it, you buy it. Number two is if you like it and you decide to buy one, that, you know, you buy it from me." So. I said,
cool.
Sounds fair. So he gave me a little instruction. You know, wasn't long. It was maybe 30, 40 minutes. We went over everything and took off, flew around, and stayed in the air for maybe 30 minutes of flying, and just absolutely loved
it. Trike. Yeah.
It's a totally different type of flying.
Yes, yes, it is. Yeah.
And landed and told him that I had to have one. So
yeah.
I ended up buying one from Don.
That's cool.
He's also
man.
A Fresh Breeze dealer.
Yeah.
Well, the thing, guys, is to remember is when you are looking for a trainer, like Dave said, a trainer should fit you to the equipment, size, weight, and be very knowledgeable with the equipment that he sells. So that's one of the main things you should actually really pay attention to, and you need to be comfortable with the trainer too. So well, cool, man. I know you are, because it's funny you said, I remember saying that. Now, I met you last year at the Flight Junkies, and you were on a trike buggy. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a big change.
It is a big change, but the you know, flies real similar. Really like the design. I sold all my Fresh Breeze equipment, like I said, after I guess about 120 hours or so,
yeah.
But I kept it for over a year,
yeah.
And or I guess about a year, and then, you know, after you've had it, you know, a year or so, and you've got that many hours, you go to some fly-ins, and you start to talk to people,
yeah,
you know, about their equipment and their likes and their dislikes, you kind of, you know, start to understand the sport a little bit better, and you kind of know, you know, what questions to ask,
yeah,
and the type of equipment that you know, you can, you know, start looking at.
Well, that's one of the things I noticed too, is it's funny how you meet with people that, well, my equipment is better than yours, and it's like, guys, I like my Fresh Breeze. I mean, you know, and I'm sure somebody that has a fly product or Aerolite, they like their stuff too, you know. And,
right,
you know, the thing, the biggest difference to me in the sports as far as the wings, oh, that's the big difference, you know.
It really is. There's so much, you know, that is different between the equipment, and they all have their pros and their cons,
yeah,
you know, the good parts and the bad parts, and you just got to kind of, you know, weigh it all out,
yes,
take in as,
yes,
much information as you can, and just make, you know, the best informed decision that you can make. But I would say that anybody getting into the sport is, just like you had said, is, you know, go with what the instructor knows and is comfortable,
yes,
with and recommends, and you know, can get the parts and service and support you, because that's important when you're first starting, is that, you know, if you have equipment that the parts are, you know, available, then, you know, if you slip and fall or break a prop or, you know, whatever, you can, you know, you're not down for weeks or months at a time.
Right, yeah. Yes, that's great. That's great advice there. Exactly right, yeah. And I'll say to you guys, don't necessarily rush into it. Like, did you hear what Dave, he was like me, and I think I saw a lot of people do that. It was I was looking into it, 2 years before I think I actually went ahead and
made the decision.
Yes, exactly, you know, and it seems like a lot of people do that, and I would suggest, you know, do your research and talk to a couple of people, a couple of instructors, and make sure you're comfortable with them, you know, so. And
right, I chose to go with the Flight Junkies and, you know, do the training that way. And, you know, some instructors take longer, you know, some take shorter time, but
yeah,
you know, you gotta, it's all really, you know, a lot depending on you and
right,
how quick you learn and your physical abilities and all that. And
yeah,
if I had known, you know, the physical aspect of the sport, I probably would have broke it into, you know, 2 or 3 weekends, but
yeah,
I was intent on, you know, wanting to get into the air, and, you know, I know Kurt is, you know, tries to pack as much as he can in you know, 3 or 4 days of training, and
yeah,
I didn't want to go spend weeks, you know, learning when I
right,
knew that there were some schools up there that, you know, depending on the weather, can get you, you know, in the air in 3 or 4 days, and,
yeah,
That's what I wanted to do, but you know, it's not for everybody.
Right.
You know, some people just take longer, and you gotta be prepared to you know, go at your own pace. And
right,
you know, by day 3, you know, Kurt, having trained with him, you know, he's intense.
Oh yeah.
For those
yes,
days, and
absolutely,
you know, where some people may spread it out, you know, over a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, he is just hardcore in your face, you
yeah,
know, for 3 days. And. And the
yeah,
only the piece there is the physical part, because on day 3, when I was getting ready to to go in the air, you know, my legs were jello.
Yes.
You know, so after kiting and doing all the ground handling and you know, all the practicing and all, so I think somehow through all the Tylenol and the adrenaline,
yeah,
you know, somehow you get through it. But, you know, again, it may not be for everybody, but if you're a quick learner and, you know, you're in fairly good physical shape, and, you know, it's certainly, you know, one avenue that you can...
Yeah. Now, Kurt, he will give you more time, because it's funny, because when I went to train with him, this is when he, it was in October, we were down in Tampa, there was a guy that showed up. He had been there already 2 days before I had, 2 days before me, okay? And so then I was there for, let's see, when did I go down? I think I was down there for 4 days, 3 or 4 days, so he actually... You know, the guy, and like you said, everybody picks up everything different, you know. Or me, I was, like, dead on it, you know, sharp. Okay, I can do that. No problem. Blam, 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 like you. And it was easy. Where he was actually, what did you tell me? You know, and it was over and over and over. And like, you know, sitting there intense, like you said, Kurt is intense and stuff. But, you know, and he will spend more time with you. But, like you said, you can have that, you know, if you pick it up really fast, and it depends on, like you said, yourself, if you can learn and but
right.
But it is like you said, if you are not comfortable, people, if you're not comfortable with, you know, getting in the air at that short period of time, train more, you know. Hey, you know, he's got plenty of time. Train and spread it out, make it a full week, you know. Before, to see the show, which actually I'm supposed to post, I was going to post it tonight, I had talked to a guy that actually was training with Paul Zarnicki down at Planet PPG, and he was saying the same thing. You know, he actually got some training, but the weather wasn't quite right, so he ended up going with somebody else. He had two flights. He probably shouldn't have been in the air. Just shouldn't have been in the air. And most likely, guys, you'll hear you'll already know what story I'm talking about. Hopefully I'll post that tonight. But then he went down there with Paul, and he was talking about how, you know, he had listened to Paul, which made him have the decision to go down to train with him. And he was like, oh my gosh, you know. The guy that actually helped him or told him, yeah, you're ready, was a PPC pilot, I think it was. And he said, oh, yeah, I think you got it. And he got in the air, but he was like, oh, my gosh, you know. And
it
so,
was ugly.
Oh, yeah, I'm like, you did? Okay. It was what? Okay. So, and he's down there, and he's training, and he's you can just hear in his voice from being down there training. And but like as he went there, the first time, he didn't even have that person in his ear talking to him. So, you know, it's like, wow. So it's all about training, guys. Yeah, and if you are not comfortable with the person that you actually first trained with, hey, find somebody else. I mean, training is I highly recommend. So, well, cool. Now, you're like, you don't,
it is as unique as the individual.
So you're like me. You don't have any ratings or anything yet, huh?
No, don't have any ratings. Have been flying, you know, since training. With Kurt, you know, after you fly and you come back home, I'm sure you had the same feeling. You're like a little overwhelmed.
Oh, yeah.
Out on your own.
It's that verse one, yeah.
Trying to remember everything.
Yes.
And of course, Kurt was great. He was always available, you know, by phone to kind of help, you know, walk you through some of the things, because you're already in information overload. But, you know, you the first couple times you get in the air yourself, you're, you know, still trying to get comfortable from all the training and all. And, you know, one of the things I did was try to be real disciplined and not try to let a lot of time go by after I did train.
Right. Yes, same here.
I noticed that's a big, it was a big help for me.
Yeah.
One of the things, like I said, I think it was in May that I went up and trained, and I told Kurt that, you know, I wanted to participate in the Flight Junkies reunion. So I had set a goal for myself that by the end of July, I wanted to have 20 hours of flying, so that when I went to the flying, I could at least, you know, get in the air and enjoy the flying and all that. And so I remember packing up all my equipment the night before, and I had exactly 23 hours
Very cool.
Of flying time, you know, before I went to the flying. And that really helped, because when I went there, I not only got to fly, but the flying, and I would recommend for anybody new in the sport to go to as many flying as you can, because,
yes,
number one, you get so much help. There were a lot of new folks there because, of course, Kurt trained a lot of people, and then at the reunion, they come, and you get to see a lot of new folks, and, you know, seeing them struggle kind of helps, you know, you make it through some of your struggles. But then on top of that, there's so many people in the sport that are, you know, willing to help you,
yeah,
and come out and critique you and say, hey, I found that, you know, this works really well. You might want to try this or that, and they help you with your equipment. And, you know, I think in the 4 days that I was up there at my very first flying, I flew an additional, you know, 7 or 8 hours.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had Kurt there, was helping, you know, if you were struggling with forward, because in the morning, you know, when it's dead wind, you know, you have to do a forward to be able to enjoy the nice air.
Right, yes.
And so, you know, you've got plenty of help there to help you fly. So on top of all the advice and the people, you know, the flyings are really, you know, really helpful, yeah, especially to new people. And if you're thinking or hesitating about going, I would recommend going. Even if you don't fly,
yes,
I think you'll enjoy it and, you know, learn a tremendous amount.
And guys, it's a good place to look at all the different equipment too. Most guys will even let you just try it on, because all these different equipment, it feels different on your back, weight wise and everything, the way they fit. So if you're really on the fence about which equipment you want to buy, you can always go to the fly-ins and you know, and try something on. So, which is really, really cool too. So, well, cool, man. Very cool. Yeah, let's see. Well, I tell you what, man. The Beach Blast. Speaking of fly-ins, I've already kind of done a roundup show. But man, what do you think about that Beach Blast?
It was a great time. I did not think I was going to be able to make it at all.
Yes, that's right.
A friend that went down, and I had been thinking about it, and there really wasn't any way for me to break away from work. And then on Friday, or on Thursday night, we had worked pretty late, and it looked like I might be able to break away. So Friday morning, I got up super early and had gotten a bunch of work done, and by late morning, had everything finished up, and you know, I talked to the family. I said, hey, why don't you guys go down with me down to the Beach Blast, and I can fly, and you guys can hang out by the pool. And so the family jumped in the car with me, and we headed down Friday, and just had a wonderful time.
I tell you, it's funny, because I know you go to a lot of fly-ins, and for you not to be, I guess maybe work, I guess is like you said, they got in the way, for you not to have been there, I was surprised, actually. I figured I would actually see you down there.
And I had, you know, the peer pressure, too. You know, the guys that I fly with, they're like, I can't believe you're not going. And I just really thought there was no way to get away.
Yeah.
And finally, you know, unfortunately, everything kind of just fell together. And I was so glad, because, you know, everybody was hyping it up and talking about it.
Yeah.
And I was just sure, you know, when you have that high of an expectation for, you know, something like that, it's never quite, the reality is never quite, you know,
yeah,
what the expectation is. But, man, I tell you what, it was just a great event, and it was really nice to get to see a lot of the same folks that I see during the year at the other flying as well. And the all-day beach flying, you just, you know, makes it worth the long
Unbelievable.
Drive.
Unbelievable, man. Yeah, to, like you said, that all day, I still cannot believe. I mean, there was one little segment or whatever, I was like, yeah, it's 2:00 and they're still flying. Oh my gosh, yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
Yeah, I had talked to John and stuff, and shoot, you know, making plans for next year myself, so. And
I'm glad, because, you know, a lot of times something like that, it really takes a lot of energy
and
a lot of time, and sometimes people don't want to do it the next year or the year after.
You know what?
Seems pretty excited about having it again.
The reason why, and then we talked about this. He got to fly as much as everybody else. You know, I've been to a lot of, let's say the flight junkies. It seemed like Kurt, he doesn't fly that much because he's doing so much. You know, basically that the beach butt, it ran itself. That's what was so amazing about it. There was not necessarily and I guess you could do that because you could fly all day, there was 185 guys, and guys were flying on the beach at the pool. I guess that's why it made it so easy for him, because basically it was running itself. So and then he would show up, of course, on certain things or whatever like that. But heck, next thing you know, he's up in the air. Hell, he went through the SIV course, or was doing SIV stuff.
Right.
When you are
video of him, flying. He got a lot of times at this fly, a few different wings. That was one of the things that I got to test fly. Several wings, because you got more time, during the day to do it, and it really makes it worthwhile. And then get to see all the different equipment, that he had the vendors set up there, and they were there all day.
Yeah.
Set up and. So it's nice to get to talk with them and about their equipment and
Guys, like I said, going to a fly-in is a great source of information, and the one thing you will find is, it's like you've known a guy forever. It's just that's how friendly everybody is. It's unbelievable, and it's scary. The first flying I went to, it was scary because it's like, okay, all right, don't blow the launch. Get in the air, make it a nice landing. Oh my gosh, who's watching? You're a rookie. All those things go through your mind when you go through your first flying. But hey, I'm sure you've seen a lot of bloopers. Hey, you will be taped. So, but don't worry about it. Just throw some dirt on it. Get up, and go again. So,
right. And that's the thing, is there's a lot of other people that are having the same struggles that you might be having, and there's always somebody there that's going to step out and help you. My second year going to the Flight Junkies reunion, was a lot more enjoyable
because
I wasn't as stressed. I actually got to, get out and help some of the folks and really got to fly. And it was a lot more enjoyable the second time around. But, going to the first one, gave me the information and the encouragement and all that I needed to keep flying.
Keep flying, yeah. Hey, man, how many people fly? You say some of the guys you fly with. How many guys you fly with down there? I never even asked you that.
We don't have a whole lot of PPG pilots in Middle Tennessee, but they're kind of scattered throughout Tennessee. I think we have maybe three or four right here in Middle Tennessee that are semi-active, and then we've got the East Tennessee folks, and I think there's a couple near Memphis that I haven't met yet.
Yeah.
And then we've got the Alabama guys that
get
together almost every week.
Yeah.
Well, I think they're in Georgia.
Oh, they're in Georgia. You're right. You're right. I'm sorry. You're right.
I think it's Barry Dodd and those guys.
Oh, okay.
They get together just about every weekend, and it's about a 3.5 or 4 hour drive from me.
Oh, for you.
I've been talking about wanting to go down there and getting together with them, because they have just a beautiful area to fly. So it'd be one of those overnight trips.
Yeah. Now you, where do you fly? Do you have a grass field or a certain place that you're airport or that you fly at down there, or you guys just found a place that you go at all the time?
I'm pretty fortunate. I have a field that is literally 5 minutes from leaving my driveway to the field.
Great.
It's a little radio controlled airplane field.
Oh, yes.
I went and talked to the landowner, and they've been flying radio-controlled airplanes there for years.
Uh-huh.
I mean, 15 or 20 years. And they keep the grass cut, and it's just beautiful. And she was a little hesitant at first, but she says, you know, I explained to her what it was and all that, and so got her to, you know, allow me to fly. So I'm really fortunate to
That's cool.
have that. But then we also fly at, you know, out of some of the schools and the airports, of course, here. We're pretty fortunate because they're all PPG friendly.
Right, right.
And, you know, I find that when you go there and you talk to them ahead of time and say, hey, look, you know, we fly ultralights and, you know, kind of explain to them what it is and we'd like to, you know, fly. They have grass strips.
Yes.
And generally they love having you just
yes.
for the pure entertainment, you
yes.
know?
Mm-hmm. I fly off of our RC club that I'm a part of, but mine's like 25, 30 minutes away. So, yeah, wow. That's nice. I've seen that. I've been wondering what it was. I didn't. It's RC club. That's cool. That's really cool. And that's the thing, trying to find. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say the best part is, you know, that they maintain the field. I'll go out there occasionally and you know, help them cut the grass or some of the trees and stuff. But for the most part, you know, I just show up and the grass is an inch high and, you know, it's perfectly mowed. And it's just the right length for either triking or foot launch.
Awesome.
And it's a north-south runway. So if the wind is east or west, then I usually fly out of, you know, one of the other places.
Yes.
But for the most part, early morning, late evening, it's great because there's either low or no wind.
Now, I've been seeing you're doing a lot more foot launch here lately. For a while, all I saw you do was trike. Are you just kind of go back and forth or no rhyme or reason? You just, well, I think I'm a rhyme
well,
or
trike. No, I do. I'll tell you what, I've got the trike buggy bullet, and I went out last year and saw it when Chad first came out with the design.
Yeah.
I mean, immediately when I saw it, I knew I wanted to have one. And so I went out to the Salton Sea and got to see it. It's very well built. And I didn't trike a whole lot because I had to switch my engine out. I mean, it's a pretty quick transition between the foot launch and the trike, but it takes about 20 minutes or so. So when you get out in the morning, by the time you foot launch and you fly for an hour or so and you land, then the wind, you know, starts to pick up, and then it's too windy to trike, so you don't switch it, and you don't ever get it ready the night before because you kind of don't know what the wind is. So I recently bought a Blackhawk 313.
Oh, okay. All right.
That I've mounted on it, and since I've done that and not having to switch the motors, I've actually been flying both of them quite a bit. In the morning, the first thing when there's no wind, which is the best time to fly a trike because, you know, as soon as the wind starts to pick up, you
right.
get bumped around a little bit. It's a little bit more exaggerated, you know, in a trike, but on foot launch, you can fly a little bit later. And so I've been enjoying going up in the trike first thing in the morning. And then landing and you know, getting my foot launch unit out, and in just you know, a few minutes, you know, you're back up in the air because you don't have, you know, the 20 or 30 minutes of swapping everything out.
Well, cool, man. Yeah, I was wondering. I've been seeing you doing a lot more foot launch, and I was like, maybe he's done giving that up. Yeah, but that makes sense. Yeah, not being in, because I have a flash trike, and it's like, okay, I guess I'll switch it over. And it's going to take. It takes me more than 20 minutes to switch it over. So the way I've had to mount it and stuff. So, and then I'm like, hell, and I actually took it off so I could actually practice my reverses or work on my forwards for the beach blast, and I haven't remounted it. It's kind of folded up in the garage. I'm like, okay, all right, well, am I going to go mount it back? Am I going to mount it back on there, or am I going to just, you know, so I understand it. That's
I know.
Exactly. So
I know I went through the same exact thing, and having two motors, it really does, you know, make a difference. And this one, the new 313 I got has electric start, and I'm just loving that. So you know, you hook up and you the starter and go. So that's,
yeah, I remember you cranking or pulling that cord hard there at the Flight Junkies last year. It was like
the Black Devil. I tell you what, it is a wonderful motor, and once you get your technique down, it was still a pretty new motor. If I remember, when
yes, it was.
I to the Flight Junkies with it, and so I was still trying to get my technique down, and fortunately, there were several other people there that had the Black Devil Motor, and they gave you little tips and tricks and, you know, about priming it and about, you know, starting it and holding the throttle, all that. And it took me, I hate to say it, it took me about 100 hours before I really, maybe 75, before I really got my technique down. But now, you know, I've got the prime down, and I just do, I go through the same routine each time, and I can, you know, it starts on the first or second pull.
That's
and,
cool.
And it is just a wonderful, wonderful motor. Mm-hmm. Very, very low maintenance motor. I just do all the regular, you know, preventive maintenance stuff with the belts and spark plug and that kind of thing. But in terms of power to weight ratio and all that and the support, I mean, Alex Parr from AeroCorsair, you could not ask for a better, you know, supporter of the of his product. He's always available, has, you know, all the parts in stock, and is always there to help you troubleshoot, you know, either on email. He's got his own group, you know, the Black Devil Engines group, mm-hmm. so there's always somebody on there that will jump in if you're having a problem and help you, and that's just been wonderful. So
cool.
With that motor, you know, when I go out to fly, you know, I go out to, you know, I'm able to fly. I'm not having to work on it all the time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I didn't mean to. Yeah, guys, don't get me wrong. No, it was just, it was hot, I think. It was the other thing. It was just, it was really strange. It fired up with no problem. It was funny. It was just, I'm not trying to say it was a bad motor or anything like it, but yeah, I just remember, it was just funny because it was like, I remember the many other times you was like, boom, and you were gone, but for some reason it was like, oh my gosh, what's going on, you know? So, you got a fuel, but it was a prime. I think it might have been, it was a prime thing, yeah. So, and I'm glad you brought up Alex, because actually, Alex, I had talked to him, gosh, it's probably been a month and a half ago. I've tried to get him on and talk to him, and he actually wanted to set up a kind of a live call-in, ask him questions stuff. So, I'm actually going to go ahead and post something or talk about it on the next show, on the show before this, about, see if anybody's interested in coming on and asking him questions if they have problems with their Black Devil. And I actually called him when he was making the move from, I think he was making a move from Illinois to Colorado or something like that. So he was really busy. And I called him one time. He was doing a military project. It's like, oh, he is busy. He's a busy man. So, but he is there for you. As far as support, as far as about the Black Devil motor, because it's funny because I talked to Johnny Fess. He said, "I tell you what, have you talked to Alex yet?" I said, "No, I've been thinking about calling him." He said, "Oh, you got to call him because not only will he talk to you about the Black Devil, but he'll talk to you about whatever, you know." So
he will.
Yeah.
Motor or, you know, any carburetor problems or, you know, anything. He's just super. I mean, if you had to pick a top 10 list, he is right on the top 10. You know, of people in this sport, and you know, there's only a handful or so of those type of people that are in it, you know, and really, you know, there to help you. So, and you know, a lot of that you learn as you go. You don't know until you're into the sport, you know, for some time, and talking with people to know, you know, who to deal with and who to stay away from.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, well. Yeah, so, as far as the call-in show, guys, hopefully you have emailed me, and if you're interested in coming on, I want to at least get about 10 or 15 guys that are actually interested in coming on before I set something up like that, because I don't want to waste his time, or I'll just end up sitting down talking to him, chit-chatting like I do, you know, doing with you and stuff. So, but yeah, it was actually his idea to, hey, why don't you do a live call-in show? I was like, okay. I'll see if I can't do that, you know, so try to get that together. I have to call him again and see if he's still interested in it, but yeah, he seemed like a really great guy.
That'd be good information.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, and as I tell guys, I don't know anything about the Black Devil, you know, Black Devil, Black Magic, anything like that. I fly a 718-122. I have my problems with it, you know, and so I know a little bit about them, so it'd be good to get somebody, you know, right to the person that knows the Black Devil motor, you know. So and it's, you know, the funny thing about this sport is there's only what, three engines that, you know, other than that, the size that I use, the 122, the Black Devil, I bet you that's probably the you know, as far as engines, what a lot of people are using, because most of us, how much you weigh, Dave?
160.
160,
so,
okay.
Yeah, the 122, yeah, and the Sunni and the Black Devil, you know, are pretty much the middle,
yes.
You know, the foot launch type, you know, units. If you go much bigger than that, like the 313, those,
yeah.
You know, you can foot launch them, but you got to be a pretty big guy. I don't know that I would foot launch my 313, especially, you know, with the electric start
right.
And the battery and all that on there. It's pretty heavy, but, you know, that's the nice thing about the trike is,
yeah.
You know, you don't have to carry the weight.
All right. So, did you sell your wing? I saw you were selling your wing. I'm assuming you're getting
a new
wing.
I did. When I was at the Beach Blast and two or three flying before, I had been testing different wings, and I've been looking at getting a reflex wing.
Yes.
And so I've been looking at Tesla, the APCO Thrust, and let's see, I did Tesla, the Speed Demon, and the Reaction, and the Dudex Synthesis. And at the Beach Blast, I had the opportunity to fly the APCO Thrust HP 2009 and the Velvet, Mac Para Velvet.
Did you? See, I've been looking at that one. Yeah, go ahead.
That is the wing I chose. It's a 23,
yeah.
Which I really like because, you know, I'm a smaller person, and ground handling a big wing is, you know, tough enough,
yes.
But when, you know, it's bigger, it makes it even harder, but I flew the Velvet and just absolutely loved it, Andy McGavin was there and said, look, he had a brand new Velvet 23, and he had a 21, and I was like, oh, I'll try the 23, he's like,
yeah.
Here, take it up, so I took it up, and then at the end of the flight, he's like, here, just take it home and, you know, fly it, and let me know what you think about it, so I was pretty excited about that, and I got to fly it there on the beach, and then I've also got to fly it at home, and just loved it out of all the wings that I've flown, and so I've ordered a new Velvet, and I sold my Dudex Moto wing,
mm-hmm.
Which was my second wing. My first one was the Power Atlas,
yeah,
that I got with my Fresh Breeze, and then my second wing I got with the Aerothrust unit, which was the Dudex, and
mm-hmm.
Just love that wing, and so I got a little over 100 hours on that, and just had been looking to get the
Velvet, huh? Wow. Okay.
Yeah,
because I had talked to him a couple of shows ago, and I was telling him about looking for that next wing and Velvet, and what was the other one I would talk to him about? The oh, I can't think of it. Of course,
the E3
and 4, and then there was another one,
Spice.
The Velvet and the...
Spice.
No, not the Spice. It was actually... Oh, I guess I should be doing my homework here and have it just punch it right up. I can't think of what it is, but yeah, I couldn't decide it was which one. So yeah, it's funny because I was thinking about that wing too. So, and then also the Obsession. So, you know, yeah.
The Obsession, yeah. Paul, I think, flies that wing, the Obsession,
so yes.
That
mm-hmm.
He loves it. I just didn't have enough time to try it, but that's one of the other wings I wanted to try, but Paul says it's a great wing.
Great wing, yeah. I've been talking to John and Steph, and of course that's one of the wings that he really liked too, so... But I tell you what, the other thing,
I've got the demo Velvet still, and Andy's going to let me take it to the flight junkie, so I'll have it.
Oh,
there
cool!
If you wanna try
yeah.
It.
Well, that's a 23. That might. I don't know what size. That might be just a little small.
Yeah, it
might
be a little bit small for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I think I need the 20. Was he got a 25 or I can't remember what it is. Yeah, so
yeah, I think 26 and
26,
then
yeah.
Maybe a 29 or the other sizes.
Let's see, hold on, Velvet Spice Eden. What is that wing? I cannot. You know what? I can't think of the wing. Oh well. Anyway,
the Muse.
No, it's not the Muse either. I can't. Hold on, I'll tell you what.
You know who makes it?
Yeah, it's a Mac Para. It's a Mac Para wing. I just can't remember the name of the wing. That, and then, hold on, I'll tell you what. Hang on. I'll look it up here. I can edit this out. Para. Envy. It's the Envy.
Gliders.
The Envy.
Oh, the Envy. Speed.
Yes, that was the other one. Yeah, and I think the Envy is just a, it's not a semi-reflex, is it? I think it's just a performance wing is all it is, where the
right.
Velvet is actually a semi-reflex wing. There we go. Okay, couldn't think of, man, could not think of
it. Yeah, the semi-reflex wing.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of the things I loved about the Velvet that was different than the other reflex wings that I tested was with the Velvet, there isn't the wingtip steering.
Oh, really?
And that I really liked because, you know, it's not that complicated, obviously, you know, for the wingtip steering, but you are putting your brakes up and then you're putting it into reflex mode, and then you're pulling these other toggles, and you don't have near the turning capabilities when you're using the wingtip steering. It's more like, of course, you're going fast, and you're not wanting necessarily to be carving it up in reflex mode,
yeah.
But it turns, you know, very shallow.
Wow.
With the wingtip steering, and
right.
I noticed on a couple of them, they had the... you know, limits on how far you could pull. Well, on the Velvet, there's nothing. I mean, when you put it in...
Just like a regular wing?
It's just like a regular wing, and
wow.
It turns just as easy and just as, you know, fast, whether you're in reflex mode or whether you're in, you know, the regular paraglider mode. So.
How was the kiting of it? Really nice? Come up easy? Come up...
Kiting
really?
Is very nice.
Yeah?
Very nice. I like it because, you know, the size being a little bit smaller wing and it's a little bit easier to, you know, handle on the ground, but it's a really nice wing.
Nice.
I'm really impressed, and you know, I've only got a couple hours on it now, but I'm looking forward to flying that for another 100 hours or so, and then maybe, you know, try something else.
Oh, cool, man. Yeah, that man, you might be pushing me towards that way, because like I said, I thought about that. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll talk to you. One more thing I want to talk to you about, and had you on here pretty good. Guys, you have got to go to his, and most of you have actually seen some of his videos and stuff. It's really cool. Tennessee PPG Pilot on YouTube, and like your Powered Paragliding 2009 Beach Blast videos, got 1,400 views already. It's like, holy schmoles, dude. It's like, and that's really nicely put together. But the cool thing is, if you go into the rest of his videos, There's two of them, or actually even the one with Dale there, ground handling. This is like your latest one you just put up. But if you go back 3 months ago, he actually, and I've checked this out, installing and using a reserve chute. I don't know the guy's name that actually, I don't even know where you filmed that. I guess you did that out at, do you remember that one that you did? It actually, the guy's talking about installing and using a reserve parachute. With the Powered Paragliding?
Yeah, that was done out at the Salton Sea Flying last year, not this year, last year, and it was the gentleman from Israel.
Oh, really? Okay.
That came
Aaron?
To the flying.
Aaron, I think is this. I think that's what. A R. Hang on, let me see.
Arnon.
Okay, A-R-N-O. In. Okay, Arnon. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
He wasn't there this year, but he was there last year, and I, you know, that's quite a trip for him to take. But
yeah.
Arnon Luffy from Israel is where he's from, and he was you know, he was one of the guys that I just really enjoyed talking with, and you know, he'd sit and explain things. He actually had tested. Some of the gliders for the DHV.
Oh, really?
Thing.
Oh, wow.
And, he was telling me some stories about that and had gotten in a situation a couple times when he had to use his reserve during the testing, so.
Wow. Yeah, that's the type of guy you want to sit there and talk to for a while, huh?
Exactly.
But yeah, guys, you have to go to Tennessee PPG Pilot on YouTube and you get check that out. That's a very informative video as far as talking about reserve. I fly with a reserve. I don't know if you do or not. So,
I don't, but you know, I always try to fly in you know, mild conditions.
Right.
You know, I've you know, thought about you know, installing a reserve, but. you know, I don't fly midday, and you know, I try to fly early morning.
Early morning, yeah.
Late evening when it's, you know, and if there's, you know, bad weather, I try not to get into it. Although, yeah, you know, you can always get caught in bad weather. I know in Arkansas, I was up, and you know, you got caught in a gust front, along with three or four other pilots, and you know, I was fortunate enough to land quickly. And
that was last year's, wasn't it? At the foot drags, at Britain's, Did you make it this year? Did you make it this year?
I did not make it this year. It was I was kind of like you with the weather car, and the change of location. And it was, you know, it's a little bit of a drive, but you know, that sod farm, wow.
Yeah.
What a wonderful place to fly out of. And, you know, flying a trike there was really enjoyable because you just have endless, you know, runway.
Yeah. Wow.
Flying. And Brent's just a great guy.
Great guy.
A lot of fun to be around. And again, there's a lot of great folks there to talk to. And we had a couple high wind days there, and they had some PG pilots that were there that were kind of giving instruction on kiting and all.
Oh, cool.
You know, again, one of those things that you'd never get if you you know, didn't go to the fly-in.
Yeah.
You know, you get a lot of benefit from the other folks' experience.
Well, all right, Dave. I appreciate it, man, for coming on. Like I said, I didn't talk your ear off enough there, but wanted you to come on to chit-chat. And, thanks for the $20. At the Beach Blast. Like, oh, God.
I saw your post. We're not going to even be posting. And you know what's so funny is Friday morning, I was watching Paul's video.
Were you really?
I wish I was there. And then you said, oh, I'm not going to be able to, I can't get internet, I'm not going to post anything until after I get back. And I was like, oh, that's it. I'm bringing $20 and we're going to post, because I know there was a lot of folks that couldn't make it, and it's a lot of fun to have that video. I mean,
oh,
even though you're not there,
it was so
nice.
Well, the thing is, too, though, is even when and that's what I said the last show, is like, I was in the golf villa, I didn't stay in the towers, it still, man, the after I did go ahead and purchase it, so I could get, at least I got the round table out, and but still, it was still shaky. It was like the internet was shaky at best. So I'm guessing it's better over at the tower rather than where I was. It was, I don't know if it was reaching that far. I don't know what the deal was, but I'd be there and I'm uploading, and it's like boom, it's gone. What the heck just happened?
Yeah, you know? it was spotty, and I had to actually get on to take care of some email for
work. Oh, you had the same problem.
Kind of spotty. Yeah.
So were you at the villa or were you in the tower?
I was in the towers.
You were in the towers, okay.
It was spotty. So I know what you mean. I had to move around the room and set my laptop in just a certain position to get enough signal, and you got to hold your tongue just right.
I was lucky to get the round table out then, because I was like, oh my gosh, what the heck? I mean, it's a beautiful place, but you should have better internet connection. It's like, holy crap. You know, I can go to motel.
You know,
I go to Motel 6 and get it for free. You know, so.
For free, yeah. You think when they're charging for it, that it would be truly high speed. But you had to pay for it, and you got bad service.
Yes, yeah, like you said, stick your tongue this way. Maybe I should have walked outside. I mean, it was. Good. I thought it was just where I was at. Okay, so I feel better now, because I'm sitting here thinking, well, maybe I should have went over to the tower and done it. So, okay, the tower's done it. Well, good. I feel better now.
So. Hey, I'll tell you what. One of the things that Britton did last year that I remember he did maybe some of the other people at the Flyers can do, he set up a wireless router off of his, I think he had a Verizon card or something.
Oh, really?
And so we're sitting out in the middle of, you know, this sod farm out in the middle of nowhere, and he set up his wireless router, and here we had, you know, internet connection and stuff during the day.
Oh, wow.
Sitting out there on the sod farm. So that worked out really well. Yeah. So, you know, other folks that have flies, if there's anybody that has that capability.
Oh, that would be excellent.
Otherwise,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, cool.
Yeah.
Well, Dave, exactly. I done kept you on here a while, man. I appreciate you coming on.
That's
and
all right. I appreciate you having me, and you know, I appreciate your show. I enjoy all the episodes, and
thanks,
it's always, you know, always fun to listen to. I always download the MP3 and take it to work and listen to, you know, when I'm working on a computer or whatever. It's nice to have that service. So I appreciate all your hard work, because I know that it's a lot of work to edit these things and put them together and make them available. So
I appreciate it, man. Yeah, it's fun. That's what it is. That's what it is.
Good.
It's fun. So.
Well, there you go, guys. David Schultz. I'd like to thank him for coming on. Also, thank Lance for coming on, giving us that information, especially about the hotels. And, David, thanks for, like I said again, for coming on and giving us your story and chit-chatting with me. I greatly appreciate it. Guys, and what I want you to get out of what me and David was talking about is training, motors, fly-ins, training, 3, 4, 5 days, whatever it takes to make you comfortable. Find that trainer that fits you. Call 345, whatever it takes, until you find that one, okay? Make sure they know their equipment that they're selling. Wings, whatever they're selling. Make sure they know that equipment. And if they're not saying what you want to hear, go to the next one. That's going to tell you what you need to hear, and you feel comfortable with them. I would suggest you make sure he's a USPA certified instructor, you know, or at least been in the business long enough and trained enough people that you felt, well, okay, he knows what he's talking about, you know. And we talk about Kurt. Kurt's not necessarily, he's not a USPA certified instructor, but you know what? We felt comfortable enough that he knew exactly what he was doing. He's trained a lot of people. Hey, here I am. There Dave is, you know. So, you just make sure you're comfortable with that instructor. And, you know, if you need references, I'm sure, you know, that maybe that even, that's a good thing to ask, you know. Can I talk to the last person you instructed and see what they say, you know, how they feel, how comfortable they feel about you. Maybe that's something you need to also do. Equipment, you know, if you can get to a fly-in, fly-ins are great places to go and check out equipment. You know, these are all things you just listen to what we were talking about. So I hope you picked up on that. I'd like to thank, I said, thank you again, Dave. Thank him again for coming on and just talking about power paragliding. And that's what I'm trying to do, is make sure you guys don't do the newbie stuff that I did and as far as buying equipment and things like that. So that's all I got for you. I'll get off of here. The next adventure for Talking PPG Radio will be with Lance Marzak at the Fourth Annual Pig Roast and Fly-In in Kankakee, Illinois, coming up July 10th, 11th, and 12th. So hopefully I'll see some of you guys there. We're going to try to do a round table. If you're interested in joining us on the round table, you're more than welcome to come on in and let's hear what you got to say. All right, guys. Happy 4th of July. This is Will Jones signing off, Talking PPG Radio.